Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they couldn't make this up. So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
And population Dan Harmon.
Oh yes.
Look at that.
Dan Harmon.
Clean shaven.
Oh man, and that was a mistake.
Hi.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Sorry, we came at you with a lot of early heat.
No, it's good. That's why I wanted to come back, because I get energy from you guys. I'm like a life vampire.
Yeah. We're going to put it back in. We're going to recharge the batteries of life. Dan, you know this world is getting, and we spent time in the lounge a while back just talking at length about how dumb this world is becoming. This, like, even as we sit here, it's becoming dumber, and we only have one tool in our arsenal to fight it, and that is comedy.
Right.
And that is what we try and do on this damn show.
And it's getting harder and harder as every third comedian turns out to have sexually assaulted someone.
I mean, that's...
every third person. It feels more than just comics. I mean, it's...
And new, interesting, horrific things like the button under Lauer's desk. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to hear about a desk button, for Christ's sake.
The desk button didn't... I saw people on Twitter reacting to that like it was like... Somebody actually said, that's some H.H. Holmes shit. But I didn't.
You didn't see it as such?
If I was a construction engineer, whatever, contractor, and I saw a work order for a button that locks a door from your desk, I would not immediately think this is for sexual crimes.
Right. I'm not blaming the construction people who put it together.
I would think it's for jerking off.
It's not about keeping people in. Sometimes it's just about keeping people out.
You don't want to get up across. If you have a big office, in other words, you've earned the right to masturbate at work.
Sure. Which is what we're all gunning for.
Then that's like probably a 20-yard walk.
Yes.
And so
you don't want to lose your bone. I mean, Lauer's at the age where he could lose a boner
if you're too lazy enough to walk the 20 yards to lock the door, then or if you're too lazy enough to hold your masturbation until you get home.
Yeah. It's just like, and also you have to do that shameful thing. Like, what if it's just a regular lock from IKEA? And the people just outside your office, then they know. So you spend your time. And then they hear that click, and they're like, okay,
"We know." The click knows now you don't touch anything on his desk.
Yeah, but if you know he has a button under, I hope people don't think I'm defending a
desk. No, it's the button under the desk is horrific.
It's the button under the desk as evidence of monstrosity that I'm arguing with.
You couldn't tell.
Because a lot of guys like me, for instance, we put a lot of time and effort into not making our creepiness other people's problem.
Right.
And so I do, I have a cross-stitch sign on my office door at Rick and Morty that Jessica Gao cross-stitched for me, and it says it's like a code system. Like, I can flip it when I don't even want you to knock, and you know,
it's like the proverbial sock on the door.
Yeah, and she did cross stitch under it. I probably can't use it anymore in this new climate, but it says it's for people's own good. It's like the door is closed. Like, one side of the sign says, "Please, you know, knock." It's closed, but you can come in. You can announce and come in. Then the other side says, "Don't knock, possibly masturbating."
Okay.
As long as you're not forcing anyone
to look at it.
If I can quote Woody Allen, another famous person who's under fire, don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone I love.
I think an argument could be made that you're being forced to look at it if you walk by my office door, so I probably have to ditch it.
I think you got to pitch it. You just, because the thought and the image, you got to pitch it.
But I would say, isn't it kind of fascinating that in the new era coming in this creep purge,
I love the creep purge, by the way.
The only way we're going to survive it with humor intact is if we are more comfortable with transparent, honest, actual
talk about,
because we can't drive it underground and into the shadows.
We absolutely cannot. But Daniel, how are you doing?
Dan, you bring the stupidity out of the shadows for us.
I try to.
He's the stupid reaper.
Yeah, you're the stupid whisperer. You call.
I mean, it really depends on how your inflection says that sentence.
You're the stupid reaper. Or you're the stupid reaper.
It's the Zoolander joke. A model, idiot.
What are those dogs that run into the bushes and thrush out the?
Oh yeah, there's
the peasants.
Oh
the peasants.
Yeah.
Yes, pheasants. Yes, those are like hunting dogs that
there
make
are three
it easy
types
to
of
shoot.
Hunting dogs. There's the flush out dogs, there's the chased after and grab the dogs, and then after you kill them, they bring them back dogs.
Right.
Yeah, we're flush out dogs.
That's the three of us. Dan flushes it out, and then we have to go retrieve the stupidity and then throw it in our mouth.
By the way, I was in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep the other night, I thought of a concept that we created on the show, which was Dumb Alexa. That yes. concept, which every time you say Dumb Alexa and then she corrects you, it's Brittany.
Right.
And you just ask her questions and she gets them wrong. And to me, that is Amazon Echo's answer to this podcast.
Sure.
Just Dumb Alexa.
Oh,
we all need to make it.
Do you guys want to do one?
Let's do a story.
Okay. This was sent in by... Just get your joke guns loaded.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
There's a guy who did the story last time who tweeted to us that he was the one who
sent really?
That in.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't see
I'll
that.
I'll try and find that. Okay. But go ahead. I'm going to get my joke gun loaded.
Well, you're going to want to be ready for this because this was sent in by Brian Regan.
Not the comedian.
not. Wait,
you too.
There's two Regans, right?
There's a brother.
Yeah.
He has a brother. Yes, yes.
At Brian Regan 80. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess not.
Not the Brian Regan.
The comic.
Although the comedian used to deal with stupid people in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he used to consider himself stupid. All right.
That's right.
A Florida couple was arrested Tuesday for faking a home break-in.
Nope.
In which they claimed they were shot at and money taken from them in a bid to get insurance money.
So did they shoot a gun in this experience?
At themselves.
Or just at the wall and said that
nope.
they... No,
at
it's
themselves.
Coming.
The levels to which these people went to think, we'll get money.
is equivalent to getting a job?
Yes. I've said that. So, some people
if you
work
so
this
much
hard,
work into it.
If you work this hard on your GED, you would be working right
my
now.
My gosh.
That's insane.
On October 26th, Lindsay Pelton and Doug Teixeira reported to authorities that...
So are they married or is she just so progressive that she has to keep her last name?
By the way, Pelton and Teixeira, and I say this with a hundred... I don't know that this is
Helton?
Happening. Is it Helton?
No, Pelton, but
Pelton,
it sounds like...
Pelton and Teixeira are the new Rizzoli and Isles. Can we just agree on that?
Sure.
Two women cops just trying to make it happen in a world that...
Is trying to set up a fake shooting.
Yeah, but all the, it's like all the crimes are against themselves. Yeah. every it's like a reverse... what was the show about the insurance investigator in the 70s?
Oh.
McManigan?
Yeah.
That's not it.
No, but I know
I'll take it because it puts me into
McManigan.
A place of knowing it.
McManigan is like a cross between Mannix and
the pubs in Portland. McMiniman's pub.
Yeah, it sounds like a place you went to in college.
Yeah, Portland pubs that are also.
It's like one of those places that they'll give you a 72-ounce steak, and if you can eat it all within an hour, it's free.
Yeah.
And like it's one of those things that the more you eat it, the less funny you get, and your face is on a toilet bowl. And they take it back in the kitchen and they scrape off the gristle and make
exactly.
you eat that. Are we really going to McManaman's for his 20th birthday? Yep, we're
what
going.
Did you say Dan McManigan's?
McManigan.
Yeah, I guess.
McManigan's is like also like the Irish Bennigan's.
Exactly.
Honest
exactly.
question. Has anyone in this room watched a full episode of Rizzoli and Isles?
No.
Dan?
Never. Dan,
no.
There's no way you've watched it.
No.
No, me either.
I know.
I love that there's shows that
Burn
are on
Notice?
Forever.
Did you watch a Burn Notice?
Full
I've
Burn
never
Notice.
Watched a Burn Notice.
Full Bones? Burn no- Bones? Just canceled 12 seasons? Never?
Never one episode of Bones.
I think I've watched a Bones. What about an NCIS?
I know where your bones are buried.
No NCIS.
Yeah, we were on NCIS.
I think
no, we
weren't
on NCIS. I've seen an NCIS.
Some of these, I'm hesitating because it's like, does volume down while you're packing in a hotel room count?
I know
that's a lot of because if I lose a sock, I'm there 44 minutes.
By the way, you get the gist of it just with the volume down.
There are
like,
TV
I get
shows.
It. Kevin Harmon is
That was JAG. I think you're thinking of JAG.
No, JAG? That's another one I've never seen.
NCIS is a spinoff of JAG. So the guy who had 12 seasons of JAG now has like 13 seasons of NCIS. And I was just on Never Not Funny with our friend Jimmy Pardo, who was recently in the town with us.
Yes.
And I was saying that there's shows I only ever watch on the road.
Yeah.
Naked and Afraid. That's a hotel room or airplane
that
watch?
That to me is an airplane watch.
Yeah, see? Or...
I'm like, are they really going to show this guy's penis? Like, how close... How... I literally am like, what? Who is... That's someone's job is just to fuzz out people's stuff.
That's it. And then the other one that I watched in hotels more than any other show, Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
It's another, like, I'm...
Feel good.
I don't know, because no hotel has any rhyme or reason to their channels, so I'm like, it's on this, I'll leave it.
Okay. Undercover Boss is one of those shows where I feel like I can never try to watch one because I feel like there's only one possible outcome. Story that's going to unfold.
Yeah,
that's right. Damn. No one's ever going to be like, let's go after this guy and enlist the boss who's undercover in a plot to kill the actual boss.
Okay, so the Boulder story, just to cut in, was sent by at Len, L-E-N-N underscore Cicada, C-I-C-A-D-A or Cicada, Pattern Language. And they sent the...
Thanks, buddy. No, I'm glad we got it up.
Last week. Okay.
All right, so these two people are in their house and they're trying to...
Well, really quick, I want to say, Dan, if you want to, I would love in any way to help you shoot. You do an undercover boss here.
Yeah.
And everyone knows it's you.
Everyone knows it's you. Like, I don't even know...
Shoot it as a spoof.
Shoot it as a spoof, and everyone afterwards is like, that's Dan.
We know it's him.
Make him think
that it's... Let him know.
Just you in a mustache on top of your beard.
I guess to the extent that I am a boss, every day is undercover boss because I'm always like, who was that? Like, that's Carol. She's...
But Dan, we'll put you in like a full suit. Like, it'll Google the other way of undercover boss.
Who walked into Starbucks today dressed in a three-piece suit?
Right. Oh, he's here. He's training for something.
He's training for something. No one ever wears that.
He's an office PA. Yeah.
Yeah, if I just took a shower, people would be like,
where did Dan go?
Why is Fat James Spader here?
It's a great
never
villain.
Seen that show. Never seen the
Fat James Spader. I would do that. You've never seen an episode of The Blacklist?
I have seen the Blacklist.
I have not.
Yeah. I thought The Blacklist was Anthony Anderson.
No.
No.
Okay.
That's
sorry.
Blacklist-ish.
Sorry.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? On October 26th, Lindsay Pelton, 36 years old, and Doug Teixeira.
Pelton and Teixeira.
Yep. 35.
Older
reported
woman.
To authorities that two men entered their rental home in Deltona, Volusia County, I always say it wrong, mm-hmm. and shot Teixeira in the leg and Pelton in the arm.
Oh. So they shot each other. They shot
spoiler
themselves.
Alert, they went end of scream on this.
Yeah.
Remember where Matthew Lillard's like, come on, you're too deep, man. You're cutting me deep. They went, wounded each other.
Yeah.
Shot each other in the leg and the arm. That's that's going far.
That's committed.
At this point, if I'm the insurance company, I'm like, all right, just you guys can have
I mean, you're
give it to them.
Comes
that's
out in
commitment.
Wash,
yeah.
They also claimed that money had been taken from their safe by the home intruders. I'm going to ask you guys now, in an effort to willingly shoot themselves.
Right. How much money
how
did
much
they say
money
was stolen?
Did they say
okay.
was stolen?
So now imagine. This is really a question of how big do you think Teixeira and Pelton are thinking?
How big do they value their own body?
but also, these are cautious, self-loathing people.
Yes.
Right.
Who don't mind injuring themselves.
Right. They're not going to just say a bazillion dollars.
No.
Right.
Because they want it to sound real.
But let me ask you guys this first, just out of curiosity. What's the least amount of money I could pay you for you to shoot yourself in the arm and the leg?
Unless they hate each other and shooting each other was somewhat cathartic.
Or, you know, or I mean, like, part of what they need to do to get them off.
I'm going to tell you this. You would not have to pay for the medical bill, so all that's covered. It's not going to come out of your end. You're going to get handed cash right now. What's the least amount of money?
Are you asking me personally
yes,
that
so
I would take to shoot
that,
my wife?
No, to shoot yourself.
Shoot
for
myself.
You to get shot. Because I would do it for $78,000.
No way. Damn, that is not...
So low. No,
that's
Dan.
Student loans and a new car.
Wow, Dan. That's insane. You have that really worked out.
Oh, I just thought about it.
Dan's,
come on.
Dan's got like a pistol that slides
to
his hand.
To me, it would
so here, somebody take this gun. What's the least amount of money, Randy?
I don't
$5 million.
Really?
Yep.
So you're telling me $1.2 million cash, you'd say, nope, not enough.
Nope,
not enough.
Oh, what?
Not enough.
Well, I'm assuming there's no guarantee that you're not going to hit my femoral artery.
There is not.
Thank
right.
you. So there's the
so
risk
there is
involved.
Risk of death, real risk of death.
Well, I'll shoot you in the calf. Then you're not going to hit it.
I don't know. People have died
you know,
from...
I this isn't about me loving my leg or being rich. Like I, this is about me being a giant pussy.
Yes.
I,
pain, you don't want pain.
Dude, I had a
billion.
I, I need 50 grand for a bee sting.
If we're going to leave you alone in an enclosed thing with a bee,
one bee,
that's 50,000.
We're leaving you in this recording studio with one bee, that's 50 grand.
You'd say no to $3 billion.
Okay, when we get into the billions. Okay, so let me I think I need like to for the shot to the leg or arm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the minimum for me.
The minimum. Yeah.
Jay, you be thinking too, Jay.
I'm thinking. I have what's the minimum.
I said $5 million.
Because when you said billion, I'm like, okay, well, anything billion, I think I have to consider. Because then it's like, it's a ticket out of fucking life. It's like Vietnam is regular life and you're rotating back to the world.
Whatever you want on the island you buy.
Yeah.
Type money.
Yes.
Like you don't have to work anymore because you put that money in a bank and you can't even spend it fast enough.
You can tell Elon Musk to shut the fuck up.
Yes. Yeah, and you can like tweet at Donald Trump, like, come get me, and he could like come get you, and he could maybe not get you.
Right, right. You, if you wanted, you could pay Bill Burr a la Breaking Bad to come lay on your money. and Huel.
And Huel. Yes, Lavelle.
So are you saying $1 billion?
Well, no, because I'm trying to think, well,
it's got
to
be multiple billions.
Because once he said billions, I'm like, oh, no, there's a price here, so I want to find the minimum. Like, what is the minimum? Because the minimum might be
560 million.
Yeah, it could be something like that. I'm trying to. Do you want to?
Jay, you go.
I'm going to say $50 million because
really
$50 million. So that's my minimum.
If now, I had $42 million, you'd say no.
Yeah.
You want to see this is that, I, this is you can get
I want well, you want to 50 do that.
Million $50 million means I can spend the rest of my life.
So it's 42.
Not, but I want to take care of my kids. I want to take care of my kids. I want it to go for generations.
I want to build a bionic leg.
Daddy shot his leg for generations.
Okay. All right. Damn.
Because Rick and Morty has done so well.
It's fair. That's
for,
fair.
For
fair
Time enough. Warner.
Yes.
I have a higher price, but yep. I'm thinking the same way the Sklars are, uh-huh. which is just like, let me take care of me and my own. Uh-huh. You know, to a point above you know, anything that would be possible if I just worked for the next 10 years.
Totally.
So I'm going to go. But this is not me saying this is how much I'm going to make on Rick and Morty. I'm just saying, like,
it's worth getting shot.
This is worth me quitting Rick and Morty and, like, going home and just jerking off all over myself.
Sure, fine. Right, but this also speaks to how big of a pussy you are.
Yes.
Like, how much you don't want to get shot.
But I do think, like, well, I'll put a pin in the class structure thing, because I think there's people listening right now who are like, you fucking privileged assholes.
Right. Because we can all live our own lives. That's...
Who knows? You might give a lot of that money to charity. He just said he wants to go home and jerk off.
Oh, yeah. But he can also then give to charity. That takes 10 seconds.
I'm just saying, like, these guys are obviously desperate. Van Kirk is like fucking
78 grand.
Guys, if I know I'm going to be fine.
Van Kirk's got like 1973 aspirations.
If I know I'm going to be fine.
Well, you don't. Well,
you
first
don't,
of all, you don't know.
You don't.
Okay. Like, let's not take his Braveheart moment away from him. I mean, student loans make you Braveheart.
They do.
I dropped out of college. I'm all paid off. I'm liquid.
Yeah.
I got a TV show. Yeah, I'm renegotiating my contract with a giant cable company. I'm gonna go. I would need, in order to be shot at with a piece of hot sizzling fucking lead,
yes,
from a pistol that is going to permanently shatter
whatever
bones
are in your leg,
cause me probably chronic pain for the rest of my life.
That's
that
right.
Make me suicidally depressed.
Maybe,
and
right.
End up not being worth it. Possibly even running the risk of hitting a major artery. Is there an EMT standing
yes.
by?
Yes.
So
yes.
We have an advantage that these
yes.
rednecks
yeah.
didn't. Okay. Right. Sorry if you're a redneck. If you heard that and got offended, you might be a redneck.
if you heard it,
fucking $273 million.
Whoa, wow. Okay. There. So good Dan, answer. Now totally ask him fair. If I had $260 million with you,
$273 million
is bottom.
Because my girlfriend would be like, "Why are you dying?" Yeah. And I'd be like, "For $260 million," and she'd go, "Not worth it."
Gone right. For $273 million. Now she's
see
sane.
That's that's the comedy thing too. When you write a joke, the number you use in that joke
it's
is
gotta
so
be
important.
Funny. It's gotta be funny.
$273 million
way funnier than $260 million.
Last time I toiled between 80% and 72%, and I went with 80%.
Okay.
Because it worked better for the joke. Okay, I'll ask you this. Let's go really quick. How much money did they claim had been taken from them that they were trying to get back, which was worth being shot? You want to go first? second, which is Tig, or third, Dan Harmon. You're a guest. You can decide if you go first, Tig, or third.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think that they claimed, not because they think this is what they're worth, but right, because they had to balance all these things.
And to make it seem real.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that they claimed that they had $9,000.
Okay. That is so in the ballpark of what I'm thinking.
Randy
okay.
Squire?
I think they claimed that they had $10,000 because I think they needed to make it a round number.
Yep. All right. Jason's
I'm going to say $25,000.
$25,000.
In their house?
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's they're shooting themselves.
Lindsay Pelton and Doug Teixeira claimed that the amount of money taken from the safe in their home by the intruders
their
was
rental home. Their rental home.
Yes.
Rental
home was $7,000.
Oh, shit!
Harmon!
Wow!
I swear to God,
you were so in the ballpark.
I don't want to be a sore winner,
but you were so right.
That was literally my first number,
seven?
But because Van Kirk's seven had been taken as a comedy number.
yep.
And so
you
I just
nine.
Went nine.
Yeah.
By
I
the
was
way,
going to guess $7,000.
You were in the ballpark.
And again, and when you think of it, that makes sense. If they say to, we don't trust banks, we put all the money we had in this safe, and it was $7,000, I think if you're an insurance claimant, they definitely thought insurance isn't, or it's like driving 9 miles over the speed limit.
Right.
No one's going to give you a ticket.
So think about the craziness of that conversation, though, because also, like, it's like how smart do dumb people get? Like because did they have a conversation where they talked about the fact
number.
that we can't say we had $100,000 because even if they believed us, we just revealed tax evasion.
Yeah, that's right.
So we have to make it a number so fucking low
that
it's possible it's 1099-able.
Yes,
that's right.
It's like an Andy Dufresne moment.
Under
if
you, a certain
if
amount.
It's a gift from your wife for a less amount.
Honey, how many tips could you possibly have gotten if you were a really good bartender for the last 5 years?
Let's just say like, they were great Friday nights for the last 5 years.
Yep. Both were transported to Central Florida Regional Hospital, probably a really busy place, by ambulance, and suffered injuries which were not considered life-threatening.
Thank you.
Quote, their story was that two guys entered the house and one shot her in the arm, and when he came out, he was shot in the leg, but we were able to determine no one broke into their home. Sheriff Deputy Mike Chitwood, if that is not a
that's a cop name like I've never heard, Mike Chitwood,
told the News Journal. They had deputies searching for suspects they invented who the couple claimed fled in an unknown vehicle. However,
let me guess what race they made them.
Thankfully, and I'm glad it never says.
However, you know what
the deputies who were the deputies who were investigating the case suspected something was not right after they smelled bleach and found dried blood in the home and garage.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it starts to fall apart in the best ways. The Daily Mail reported that police found several other details that led them to believe the crime scene was staged.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sign of force entry. How do you manage to shoot yourself and not break the door?
Not break the door
when you do
frame.
It in the wrong order.
That's right.
Here's what I love.
And I'm the strength. I can't.
What's next on the list?
I've got no shoulder to break.
You gotta lean into that door, honey.
You said no particular order, so I shot you when you came around the door.
Well, how am I supposed to kick it? I can't stand on one leg. Well, you kick it.
Imagine this scenario, too. There was no sign of force entry, and the television, which was on the floor, appeared as if it had been pushed over and did not appear to be damaged in any way.
Right.
Which means they were like,
be gentle
tip it over.
This.
But come on, help me lay this down on the ground.
We're going to have to pick it back up.
Right. I'm not ruining the TV for this. Get over here so you can shoot me.
We're only getting $7,000.
Yeah, it's a $2,000 TV.
Right. I'm going to say this. Nice police work, Chitwood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about the dried blood? What did they do? Practice run?
I know. How old is the dried blood?
Here's another thing. That's next after this. No noticeable signs of a vehicle stopping in front of the house were present. How could you tell? It's got to be gravel driveway.
Driveway or tire. Like technology.
I guess. I don't know. Authorities.
Like a little My Cousin Vinny tire. They got the guy from Firestone to come in. Yeah.
Authorities also thought it was suspicious that the shower and bath mat were dry, even though Teixeira was reportedly showering at the time.
Ah!
When the robbers broke in.
This is like Angela Lansbury shit.
It's like Encyclopedia Brown.
Right?
Like Bugs Meany could have done better at this attempt.
If the incident, this is from Chitwood.
How great of an Encyclopedia Brown would that be if the one where he shoots himself in the leg
just for insurance money?
This is what Chitwood said. If, quote, if the incident occurred and they called police right away, why would they have dried blood and why do we have bleach all over the house? Which means you're probably right. They shot themselves, then got blood everywhere, which didn't match up with where they said they were, because the blood can only be where they got shot,
Exactly.
There.
So they did some cleaning.
Yes, they did some cleaning.
After they were shot, they're cleaning.
What a
honey, give me the wet Swiffer.
I mean, they are, assuming that they weren't just under the influence of something, they are heroes in one column, which is just...
doing what they can to make a little money.
They're just jumping off the cliff and building wings on the way down. Like
That's exactly what they're doing.
They've got the entrepreneurial, like impulsive. They're the Elon Musk of dumb
of stupidity, stupid plans.
According to the New York Daily News, Lindsay Pelton's father, Carson Tyler. Wait for this guy. He called investigators.
How does everyone have a different last name in this story?
Carson Tyler, Lindsay Pelton.
He called investigators to find out more information about the alleged robbery. So he calls like, hey, what do you guys know about this case? Like, sir?
Just poking around. Like, y'all come around to any kind of...
citizens arrest.
Then he
definitely did.
We've already got him, sir.
I got to do a citizen's report.
Yeah, but I just want to know what you guys know.
I'm filling it out for the neighborhood.
He's pissed off. He's like, I'm going to tell you, I've been on this case since that girl was 14.
Is there some kind of tracking number I could get for this payout?
Here's what I love. So he calls the cops himself. What do we know on this Pelton case?
Okay.
Then he says that the couple, this is what he told the cops, the couple didn't have any money that could have been taken by the intruders. He's preemptively rolling.
He's rolling them. These guys. Yes. He's giving facts that,
quote,
it's like great writing in a movie.
Wait, did they have him call in, but and he's just mad because they didn't cut him in on money?
They didn't cut him in on that $7,000.
Like, what's going on with this case? Like, we arrested your daughter and her boyfriend. Okay, just so you know, they have no money.
That's right. Great.
They're like, should we bring, what's this guy's name?
Carson Taylor.
Carson Taylor. Should we bring Carson in on this? What do you mean, to shoot us? Yeah, it'll look way more real if we have a third shooter. Yeah, we're going to split $7,000 three ways.
No way.
So Carson, let Carson call the cops the way he would if we really were shot. We're going to be really shot. We're going to get
by the way, this phone call is like the phone call that Ennis Del Mar, when he calls Jake Gyllenhaal's in Brokeback Mountain, when he calls her and she's like, he said Brokeback, she's like, he wanted his ashes buried on Brokeback Mountain. I mean, I don't even know if that's a real place, made up or something. And he then reveals to her on the phone, we ran some cattle up there summers years ago. Yeah. Like, he reveals that fact that that was a place that they spent. And then she comes back to him and says, he said that was his favorite place on the earth. And she, like, puts it all together that they had this relationship and then starts crying and then hangs up the phone. But I was like, is that one little piece of information that he gave that just completely unleashed it all up. Same thing. Carson Tyler brings the information.
I wish I could quit you.
This is a quote from Chitwood. Carson stated, neither Lindsay or Doug, I think it'd be Doug, quote, have two pennies to rub together, the investigative report said. Carson said he knew his daughter, and she probably had never seen $7,000 in her life.
Way to go, Carson.
That's like a knock on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Her whole life?
I've never given it to her.
Yeah. Investigators then found out that Pelton and Teixeira shot themselves, staged the crime scene, and tried to clean things up. We then found a .22 caliber gun hidden. You got to get rid of the gun.
Yes. Bury that shit. By the way, how much of this, Dan Harmon, do you think is going on in the country as we speak
right now? How many people have gotten away with this?
Staging stuff like this and just
feeling like fraud?
I'm going to game the system here.
I would say a ton.
A ton.
This is this. So they find the .22 caliber gun, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They then present that information to Lindsay and Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, yeah, the home investigators didn't bring their own gun. They got hold of our gun.
So now
they're saying they came in, took their gun from them, then shot them.
Yeah.
Right. It's so funny. I was talking to someone I went to last night. I went to the Tim Minchin show at the Wiltern. Okay.
Don't mention it.
I didn't mention it.
I'm just coming up with titles.
I love that. Do you know Tim Minchin?
I'd like to be his PR guy. British musician,
musical comedian.
Yeah. It's like somewhere between, he's like the best musician a comic could ever be, and he's like the funniest, funniest of all the musicians. He's kind of lies in that area in the, in between. But
a single gunshot rings out from Jack Black's neighborhood.
Well, I mean, JB is it's different because it's just a different thing. Like he kind of sounds a little like Glenn Hansard. But now I completely lost my train of thought of what were we just talking about?
We're just talking about the guy and the bullet and
committing insurance fraud, and they came in and said, "Is this your gun?" And
well, then he goes, "No, they brought their own gun."
Using the gun on the
they didn't bring a gun. They took our gun.
They showed
then
up
shot
without
us
a gun.
Now you're
gone. Tell you what, if it comes,
anyway, so glad we now you went, know that you went to see Tim Minchin.
If it comes back at any point, just jump in right with it.
Okay,
don't even segue.
I will.
Okay. He further said they shot themselves for the purpose of committing insurance fraud. They were going to sue the homeowner.
I consider that an honorable mention.
Sue the homeowner.
So their whole thing was to then, because they rent the house, they would sue the homeowner for, I don't, like
they're
not,
renting, and they're going to sue the homeowner because.
Chitwood said the couple have even hired an, here we go. Chitwood said the couple even had hired an attorney for the insurance proceedings, which means they hired.
I know exactly what it was. So I was talking to the guy who was doing. I was talking to the guy who was running. I was talking to the guy who was running sound who ran like the front of house sound for him. Who had been? He's now building high end like audio equipment, and he went to China to a factory to basically view where this stuff is being made. And he said, I said, what's the biggest difference between China and here? So the culture there is that people, you're not supposed to call someone out in a lie to their face. Honesty is not valued in any way, shape, or form to someone's face. So if I showed up late to work and my boss came over to me and said, why were you late to work? And I said, I'm sorry, there was a fire at my house. The boss wouldn't be like, that's bullshit. There's no fire. I can see that nothing's going on. The boss is like, okay. Like, he knows there wasn't a fire at your house. He knows that the way, he just has to accept it, and that it's better etiquette to accept a bullshit excuse. And so the bullshit in China just keeps growing and growing and growing. So that's what I was saying. This to me was like that, where they're like, yeah, he just took our gun. If this is in China, they'd be like, okay.
Yeah. But then that guy would still get fired, right?
Like, no, he doesn't get fired.
He doesn't get fired.
They just believe the bullshit.
They accept it.
They accept the bullshit.
Wow.
If you're smart enough to come up with an excuse, even if there's no possible way that could happen, they accept it.
So, I can't wait to ask Jessica Gao about this on my Feral Audio podcast, Whiting Wongs, with Dan Herman and Jessica Gao.
Let's
do
it.
I'll check that out.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, guys, if you missed what I said, Chitwood said the couple even had hired an attorney for the insurance proceedings, which means prior to shooting themselves and doing this, they hired an attorney for the lawsuit they knew they were going
we're
to.
We're going to need to. Just in case, Dan.
But that might be a smart move, right? Because in all the movies, it's like, that's the way to guarantee that guy's silence.
Yep.
Like, you give him a dollar and go, you're on retainer. I'm about to commit the crime of the century.
Right? Back me up.
As your dollar lawyer, I encourage you not to go through
lawyer.
This.
Dollar lawyer is like a great idea.
Insurance fraud, I would never. I'm a smarter guy than these two. Mm-hmm. I would never, ever, ever try insurance fraud, even if I was a sociopath, mm-hmm. because as a sociopath, I would know that whereas just regular crime, killing a citizen and taking their wallet, if that citizen doesn't mean enough to the city, mm-hmm. then capitalism guarantees that there's not going to be a forensic files level investigation.
Right.
They're not going to get out the luminol unless you're white, for instance, unless you're like a kidnapped pretty girl in the Bahamas.
Yep.
Whereas fucking insurance fraud
is
you're trying to rob the Iron Bank in Game of Thrones.
Right,
like
they will come after you. They do is think about how to not even pay real people that deserve the money.
Leg bit off by a shark, and they try to figure out how to prove the shark was fake. And sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shark was real.
I'm gonna go beat this hornet's nest with a stick. Is that cool?
Yeah, you actually are probably better off just robbing a bank. Yeah.
Or walking into a casino with a licorice whip and saying, give me all your money. You have a better chance of a laughing pit boss accidentally dropping $7,000 in chips.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right, because it is true. Like, insurance companies are fighting people on hurricane losses.
I know.
They're like, I don't know if you had that in your policy. Like, if that's the level of them trying to parse out what they owe to anyone, you're right.
So
don't go against
it. crazy way. I mean, it's the villain. We're making fun of these dumb people as we always do. But I mean, there's one character that's not even doesn't even have to be in this story, which is the corporation that even puts it in your head that getting shot in the arm is worth money.
I just
wish they had done a better job of it.
Right.
They were booked in a Volusia County jail Tuesday on charges of giving false information to law enforcement officers investigating a felony. Teixeira faced an additional charge of tampering with physical evidence, which to me means he probably tried to clean up the blood.
That's it.
That's story one, guys.
Story Jesus one.
So do we think those guys were on? Were they? Do you think they were drunk?
No, I just think there was like a hey, you know what we should do.
This is them.
We're looking at a picture of them.
Yeah. She's.
They both look like extras from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, they both.
He looks like a dude that I would. If I got into his lift, I would. I would text you guys where I was.
It would be like Texas when you get home. You would just send like a. Yeah, I don't want to judge a guy by his neck tattoo, but that is.
Her facial expression is like, did you take it?
She just looks like everyone I accidentally run over in Grand Theft Auto.
That's story one, guys.
Story one, down in the books. Dan Harmon's with us. We got two more to go.
We do.
Stay with us. This is Dumb People Town.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey, it's me, your underwear. I'm made out of cotton, but shouldn't I be made out of micromodal? Sorry, I'm doing a commercial.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I love it.
Hey, guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town. We have Dan Harmon. Listen to his amazing podcast.
Harmontown. If you're not on that, we did it. It was such a blast. And
if you love this one, you will love that one. That's all I can say about that. And Rick and Morty, if you're not on that train, get on it, people. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable how every young person that I know, that's their favorite. That it is sort of
it's
risen to the point where like that is everyone's favorite animated show.
It's crazy to spend 6 years trying to with an NBC show on a Thursday night, mm-hmm. following or you know alongside Tina Fey and like at a network that is as old as television itself. And you can't make the Nielsen needle jiggle.
Even with an amazing show like Community with great people on it and great like breakout folks on it.
You said it, not me.
Mm-hmm. I said it, no.
Insane to then, it's like that's the show where you're supposed to try to make the needle jiggle, you know? Right. It's like you're bouncing up and down on the scale, doing anything you can to go like, please watch this show. And like, we only continue to exist if we get can we get a 0.9 on the Nielsen scale? And then like you flee for emotional safety after getting fired to basic cable at a block at midnight, mm-hmm. and end up making
this thing that makes McDonald's like have a run on Szechuan sauce.
Yeah, and the quarterly or like Wall Street Journal articles about like Time Warner looks better for an AT&T merger because of Rick and Morty and Game of Thrones.
Yes, that's true.
Fucking crazy. I mean,
it's insane. It's so funny because we're watching our friend Scott Rogowski, who works with us on stuff. He's the host, and I'm going to say this. You may or may not know this, but I'm just going to explain this. He's the host of this thing called HQ, which is a game show app
on your phone. It's a social media game show.
Social media game show. It's the simplest idea in the world. It's a little app you download on your phone. You get it.
It gives you a notification. We're going live
in a minute. You click on it. You're there.
You play trivia with thousands of people.
200,000 people. They give 12 questions, easy to hardest. And if you're one of the last people standing, you share part of $1,000 or whatever it is. It's so easy. It happens twice a day. He is so good on that show. And then there's a whole drama thing about it. Like the people who created Vine created that show and they didn't want him to become a star. He's the best host of the show. They tried to hold him down. There was like, I guess, a BuzzFeed or Vulture article about it. And they were just going to write about the show being a great show, like an interesting show, and they interviewed Scott, and these people said, you can't interview him. We don't, you know, like if you interview him and run the interview, we're going to fire him. And then the article really became about how they were being dicks to him. And so now he's got more. But the idea that this little concept of this thing has now grown to the point where
probably bigger than if he did a show on the Game Show Network.
Totally. Right. And I asked Rob Corddry's cousin, who's 29-year-old girl woman who moved here from somewhere else, and she's like trying to make it out here in the business. And I said, have you heard of this HQ thing? Not revealing what I know that my friend is the host of it. I said, have you heard of this HQ app? Just thinking it's in her sort of zone. And she was like, yeah, isn't that the thing where they're trying to fire the host? So like and I was like, okay, now you know that it's in the consciousness. Same with Rick and Morty, in that we just say hey, what's your favorite animated show? And everybody at a certain age is like, it's Rick and Morty. Like, it's not even the...
My 8-year-old son was like, can I start watching Rick and Morty? Because the kids at his elementary school are talking about, that's the thing they all can't wait to get old enough to start watching. Now, that to me is the sign. Like, these are people who haven't even seen it yet.
But there's just like there's so much talk that it's trickling down.
And then everybody, every adult in Jay's bar is also watching Rick and Morty.
It's, like, it's gotten to the point where in order for Rick and Morty to continue to have a chance of being good or relevant, we'll need to create like a Philip and Terrence or Itchy and Scratchy within the Rick and Morty universe, just so
we're sitting right here.
You're speaking right to us.
We're sitting right here. That's all I'm saying. All right, we got another story?
We do. Okay. This was sent in by Jimmy Dasher. Jimmy Dasher.
Wow. He's my favorite of the reindeer.
Oh, that's fine.
Jimmy Dasher is my favorite of the reindeer.
At Jimmy Dasher, JimmyDasher, Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Keeping it
this stuff. Is some really fun dumb.
Music City.
Mm-hmm. The girlfriend of a man accused of stealing a rental car.
Uh-huh.
So the girlfriend of a guy who stole a rental car.
So to me, even without knowing what comes next, is that she's going to do something worse than stealing a rental car.
Depends on how you look at it. And whether or not you're the guy, maybe.
Right.
The girlfriend of a man accused of stealing a rental car from the Nashville airport called police to turn him in for the reward money while allegedly riding in the stolen car with him.
This is, again,
their own insurance fraud situation.
Like, they saw Heat.
Yeah.
they're like,
we got this.
Yeah, they're like, well, you stole the diamonds, and John Voight's like, well, you know, you could just sell them back to the guy you took them from.
There you go. That's it.
Simple solution.
The amount of times, I bet it's once a week that I think of Charlize Theron in Heat giving the little hand signal to Val Kilmer. I don't know why, but that just always sticks with me.
Sticks with you.
He goes to see her, and she's like, uh-uh. And then he goes to leave.
You know, it's, yeah. I mean, just the idea of we can put, I think, and I think Trump is a big purveyor of this, a really dumb person walking around thinking they're way smarter than they are and thinking they're hiding something so easily. I believe that it's now out in the open that everyone can act this way. So that's exactly what this person is doing.
You think, have you guys noticed a bumper crop of your stories for your podcast since November?
Yeah, there have been a lot. I mean, anytime
we're like, hey, we got another person. You can do a show the same day. Can you prepare another three stories? Dan's like, I already got it.
I think
I already got it.
A lot of the stories I don't use too. There's a rash of an emboldenism, if that's even a word.
No, it is. People are more emboldened to do stupid things like this. So I'm driving around in the rental car that I stole, and I'm going to pin this on my boyfriend.
Yeah, he's driving it.
He stole it together.
He's like, I'm going to steal this car. You're going to call in
and say we found it.
Aren't there fingerprints all over it? I'll hide in the trunk.
No,
she's turning him in.
She's turning him in.
According to the Metro Nashville Police affidavit, the theft originally took place in July when Chance Mangian.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
Chance Mangian.
That sounds like an Indian casino. Am I wrong to say that?
Please let him be the super detective that brought these two to justice.
Yeah.
Chance Mangian.
Jumped the counter of the rental car facility at the airport, grabbed keys, and fled in a 2017 Dodge.
Oh, he's the boyfriend, Chance Mangian.
Yeah. Okay, but here's my question.
Jump the counter.
Like, when you rent a car, and we've rented cars before, like, they tell you, okay, it's in, like, L17. Yes, then you gotta go out into the parking lot and find L17. That takes forever. You're like, is this the road?
That's what I think.
You walk down nine wrong rows.
Okay, but I bet he grabbed the keys, jumped back over the counter, and then just started weeping it outside.
But still, isn't that enough time for someone? To me, that if you can jump the counter, grab what I'm guessing is more than one set of keys, then go outside with those keys. That means the level of security at this place is one person going, sir.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Can you stop him?
Sir.
We can't do that, sir.
Wait.
Well, it's like those prisons in the desert where they only need one guard. You know, it's like, where are you going to go? Somebody runs for the wall and you're like, hey, what are you... Don't make me call in a helicopter to find your bones.
Yeah, because then it's not an issue of me catching you. It becomes an issue of me saving you.
Right. Or finding you.
Identifying
you. But imagine how happy he got when the car that was going off was a Dodge Challenger. Yeah. It could have been anything. Well, that's why they call him Chance.
Chance Mangione.
Jeff Davis's favorite line from Hard Target, in which Van Damme's character's name is Chance. The woman asks him, like, how did you get the name Chance? And he says, my mama took one.
Also, just because I love our Facebook page so much, our Dumb People Town Facebook page, I'll say it so somebody doesn't have to write it. Chance the Robber.
Okay, Chance the Robber.
Chance the Robber.
We ain't got no problem with you.
No. Police say in the process, Mangione, I love saying this name.
Chance Mangione
is a trumpet player.
Does anybody want to guess?
It just feels like I don't know what Mangione seems like. It's East Indian, and Chance just feels like it's like he's like Gambit from New Orleans or something. Yeah. Like, so it's just like he seems like a Marvel character.
Yeah,
like
his, totally.
Like they're gonna do the origin episode on the Netflix show where you see his mom fires, meet his dad.
Right, yeah. He fires hot gumbo. Like,
to me, Chance Mangione is one of the cohorts of Carmen Sandiego.
Yes. Where in the world is Chance Mangione?
Oh no, Chance! You got the buzzer. That means Chance Mangione's gonna take one of your clues away. Uh-huh.
She's going to drive you out in a rental car.
I will not tell you if she's in an archipelago. Mangione. Mangione. I create randomness in your search for Carmen.
Also, do you ever feel this way? We're all writers, like creators. There are times, this happened, the same thing we had Lauren Lapkus. We had a real person, Tammy Faye Toupee.
Yep.
Remember this? And now Tammy we have Faye Chance Mangione. There are like names where you're like, this character name needs to be used.
We couldn't come up with, like, if you worked really hard, you couldn't come up with a Chance
Mangione.
This person
was destined to be arrested.
Yeah. Chance.
Like, I agree with you. A character on Treme. Am I right?
There we go.
Chance Mangione.
Totally a character on Treme. Like,
police say,
he's the one who pushed John Goodman off the bus.
Spoiler alert. Police say in the process, Mangione drove down a one-way road over two spike strips while fleeing. He's determined.
Yep. He's going to be driving this on rims.
Police were able to spot the stolen car on I-24, but Mangione did not stop for police.
Of course he's not going to drive that on the rims.
All flats.
Spark it out.
At that time, dispatchers received a call from Mangione's alleged girlfriend, which means she might be disputing it.
Yeah, I may or may not be his girlfriend. We broke up after we went over the spikes.
We live together, but I've never labeled
it. So she's really just she's just a rat leaving a sinking ship.
Yes. If I find some driftwood, I can float on.
Like, she decided when they eventually got caught by the cops, she was going to lean so far and be like, thank you! Oh, thank you!
He was kidnapping me.
Yes.
You saved me.
He's like, as soon as the rubber came off all four tires, he's like, honey, this car is one frozen lake from everything turning around for me.
Exactly.
She just said, don't honey me.
However, I want you to save yourself.
Don't you honey
lay
me.
Lay the groundwork now.
Uh-huh. So that they don't think it's... Right.
That's nice.
Take my phone, repeat after me.
Do it.
Chance Mangione has kidnapped me. Then if we find the frozen lake... And my rims become ice skates.
Right.
And I become DB Cooper. You become Mrs. Mangione.
Right. We take this to the next life.
In a $3,000 Blue Book value.
Of course. Well, now
Dodge Charger.
Dodge Charger.
At that time, dispatchers received a call from Mangione's alleged girlfriend, identified as Christy Cardwell.
Whoa. Yeah.
Another great name.
She's a reporter.
Yeah. Chris Cardwell.
According to the affidavit, Cardwell told police she knew Mangione had stolen the car, but would not reveal his intentions until she received reward money, saying, quote, she knew the law very well and didn't have to give him up. So their thing was, babe, we're going to steal a car. They're obviously going to have a reward. She thinks a reward gets put into place 20 minutes after he steals the car.
It's like an Amber Alert.
But it's a car. It's not a child. There is no reward.
Everyone's phone lights up with a Dodge Charger.
Dodge Charger stolen.
All the bounty hunters get notified.
It becomes
Cannonball Run.
Everyone's chasing
that. That would be unbelievable.
It's a Rambler. It's called a Rambler Alert.
Yeah.
She knew the law very well and didn't have to give him up. I hope at that point, whatever Chitwood is in this story was like, okay, we'll see you later, and just hung up.
I'm still so confused by their plan. I'm sorry.
Their plan, I think, was
steal the car,
call in for the reward.
She calls in. I found the car.
Right.
And
okay.
Here, and I want the reward money.
But what is the reward?
And what is his role in her life then?
She stole
alleged boyfriend.
Alleged boyfriend. He was the one who had the balls to go.
No, but I don't understand.
They will share that money. They will.
Now he has to be a fugitive for the rest of his life. He's going to be like Harry and the Hendersons, but he's not Harry. Like he's just going to live in her attic. Yeah. Like and she's going to slide food under the yeah. door
until she takes him to the woods and is like, "Go, go! We don't want you here.
Get out of here.
You don't belong here.
Come on, get out." I love you so much.
You're not one of us, don't you see?
This is my John Lithgow. You have to make your mouth a circle.
Yeah, like this.
I'm a lamprey. This is my famous John Lithgow.
It's good.
A slave, okay?
I make my mouth a circle.
I just started doing a Jimmy Stewart.
I know, you're doing John Lithgow doing Jimmy Stewart.
I don't want to see you here.
Get out.
Get out of here, Mary.
John Mary.
Don't you understand? You're not a little. You're a big one.
Get out of here, Zuzu.
It's not a wonderful life. Get out. I'm John Lithgow.
Mary, is it you?
It's not. It's John Lithgow.
You're not going to like it, George. She's a librarian.
Look at the circle in his mouth.
Isn't that the best part of that movie? That Clarence tells George, the worst possible thing I can tell you right now is she's a librarian. You're not going to like it, George.
She's a librarian.
Every time an angel gets its wings, a Bigfoot hides in your house. And then a bell rings.
Police said that she would not give him up unless she had the reward money. Police caught up with Cardwell as she was booked into the Davidson County Jail on Tuesday for accessory after the fact. She could have just been like, you didn't have anything to do with this.
Right. She decided to get involved.
According to the affidavit, Cardwell attempted to harbor and abet a fugitive, intended to hinder his arrest, and refused to provide aid and assist to Mangione's captivity and arrest. They don't say anything about Mangione ever getting arrested.
Like they might have just let him go on name alone.
They're like, with your taste in women.
Go ahead. You, we got her.
Your life of crime.
I hope David Caruso was like, I guess he's Mangione. Oh, you can turn your headphones back up. I'm going to ask you guys right now. How old is Christy Cardwell?
Too much fun leaves marks in life. Living hard, you'll pay the price. Who is going to get it right? Guess the age.
The alleged girlfriend that was part of the scheme, maybe the mastermind of it. You rob a car, I'll call in for the reward money.
Do you want to go first, second, or third?
Guess the agey.
Well, she has a 70-year-old DC Comics news reporter's name.
That's true, Cardwell.
But I'm going to go, I'm projecting Mangione's, you know, his
proclivity for women.
Yeah, and his laziness, but his brashness.
Mm-hmm.
So in the right neighborhood, that's going to make him a catch. He didn't work at the rental car place. He's the kind of guy. His name is literally Chance, and I think the age of the girl in Nashville that kind of guy makes rub her finger around the rim of her Mai Tai. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Who's that? That's Chance. Well, he's going to make me take one, girl.
That's right.
I think that...
You are crazy.
I think she's 19.
19.
Okay. Wow. 19 years old. Randy,
although
giving her a lot of credit.
Although I will go meta and say there's only one reason you could possibly be asking,
which is
that's either that she's fucking super old or like ridiculously
or super young.
Young.
I mean, look.
Yep.
I 19, I feel like is go well, with now, your gut. Now, go with your gut.
Now let me.
Amend it.
65.
Okay. 65.
Wow. 65.
I think this grandma's 38.
38 years old. Jason's Clark.
I think she's
27 years old.
Yeah. All right, 65.
38 or 27.
I'm going to tell you right now, in this round of Guess the Agey, one of you is exactly right.
Oh!
One of you has the nail on the head, the chance on the Mangione,
on the chance. Okay.
Everybody playing along at home, get your answers in now, because I'm about to tell you.
Shout it out in your office.
Christy Cardwell is 38 years old.
Yeah!
Sklar.
Thank you very much. Oh, this has been so fun. All right, we have one more story after the break. Dan, what are we looking at? Can you preview it? Can you preempt it?
Shenanigans at a McDonald's and a person who can't remember how much food they ordered.
God love it. Come back for the last segment of Dumb People Town with Dan Harmon and a special guest right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
All right, guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town with Dan Harmon. Dan,
great follow on Twitter, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, follow Dan Harmon.
Oh, can
Twitter.
I say really quick, speaking yes. of Twitter, and Dan, I said this to you off air as well. For those of you who don't know, on November 27th, a person reached out to Dan Harmon and said, can you give anybody some advice on dealing with depression? And your answers to that person, I already told you personally, were beautiful and heartfelt and powerful. And everybody should check that out. Whether you know someone who's dealing with any sort of that stuff, or you yourself are,
go
or
to
just
Dan Harmon's
want
Twitter
the knowledge.
Feed. Wait,
you're telling me that Twitter had a positive effect on people's
yes.
lives?
Yes. So thank
first
you for
time
that,
ever.
Dan Harmon, in a personal sense.
Oh, thank you. That's
sense.
Very nice.
It was, yeah.
it was
great.
I'm glad people got use out of that.
yeah.
It actually real. Was a Twitter moment today. So it should okay. be hard for people
check
to find.
It, check
what
it.
What does that mean? It's like
Twitter like does this aggregate of like the most popular like news stories oh. across all different types of topics, and you can just kind of. I went for a time where I muted everybody on Twitter because I just needed it, mm-hmm. but I would look at the moments just to kind of see what was going on, mm-hmm. and
this was
it, made it made your exchange with that person one of those things and other people's reaction
nice.
To it.
Hmm. That's yeah. awesome.
Yes.
All right. So good
finals.
All right. Here we go. Mm-hmm. This was sent in by Edward Vukovic at. Rutiger Jones, Rutiger. Mm-hmm. And I also have to give honorable mention to Kayla Marie Cummings at Hala. It's Kayla, H-O-A-L-L-A. It's Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A. Because she gave me the article I used, but he was the first one who sent in this story.
Love. Got it.
Cole Olson.
Feels like Coulson. Somebody screwed up
just
a name.
Call him Coulson.
Just call him Coulson, yeah. Someone was like,
maybe they named him going down a bumpy road.
Yeah, Coulson.
The guy, his drunk dad, or maybe grandma, hiccuped yeah. to the birth yeah. certificate.
Coulson. Coulson. It's like a yodel.
Coulson.
Coulson.
It's a cough medicine.
Yep.
It's a gargle. His name's a gargle.
Uh-huh. I hope his middle initial is O.
Yeah.
Coulson.
Please.
Cole Oliver.
Appeared in Hornsby local court in Sydney, Australia today on one count of drunk driving after a bizarre altercation at a McDonald's car park involving 200 chicken nuggets.
I will say this. There have been times where I've gotten a 20 nugget back in the day. A 20-piece McNugget, and I'm like, that's not nearly enough.
Really?
And you got four more.
Yeah. I didn't get four more.
Would you
I
say got, that's the most you've eaten in a sitting?
The most I ate at a McDonald's was back when we were at the University of Michigan. They had a special 29-cent hamburgers, 39-cent cheeseburgers.
Mm-hmm. And I used to do that.
I got 10 mm-hmm. and ate 10.
But
five
how many
and five.
Nuggets would you say you could eat in one sitting?
Probably, if you ask
in your prime.
Me, in my prime, 60. Easy.
Randy?
Yeah. I mean, I remember same feeling, the same thing of like 20's not enough. Like I was just, you yeah. tear through it in a way.
I mean, they're nuggets. They're not,
yeah,
they're
you
not,
tear through
they're
it
not
in a
chicken
way.
That, McChickens.
They're not whole chickens. Hens. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about, 20 Cornish game hens.
We had, like a million nuggets brought into the Rick and Morty office because we were going to try the Szechuan sauce or whatever that McDonald's sent over in a yeah, tub.
Yeah. yeah.
And I probably ate 30,000 nuggets.
Yeah. And you don't even think about it. You're like, well, how many? You look down, you're like, oh, that 20's gone.
Yeah. That's gone.
There's another 20 gone.
So this is a 200 nugget debacle happening in Sydney, Australia. First of all, love to all our Australian listeners. Thank
it's
you.
It's nice
very
to know
much.
There's
it's
white
nice
trash to... down there.
Thank
too.
You very much.
Also, if go. Cole Olson is a common name down there, we're sorry. We didn't know we were being antipodea centric.
Yeah.
He pled guilty to the charges, did Cole Olson. On Thursday, the court was told that after a night of drinking earlier this month, Olson drove through Thornley McDonald's. That kind of makes it seem more like
Thornley
nice.
McDonald's.
Really? He drove
through the drive through. He didn't drive through the
McDonald's. Right. I hope he did drive through.
Very And he ordered 200 chicken McNuggets at the drive-thru.
Okay.
When he was told nuggets weren't available, because it was only breakfast, late-night breakfast menu, I guess,
uh-huh.
Olson was said to have responded with, quote, earmuffs for the kids, I want my fucking nuggets, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
This is a man determined to get nuggets.
Not so different.
No. Yeah, I don't feel like you get I don't feel like you get that. I want to fuck I'm going to fuck you up before these nuggets fuck me up.
Yes.
And I feel like by the way, people don't have that anger for the McRib. Like if that's out,
you're like, all right,
fine. What else you got? But like, there is legitimate connection to the
McDonald's
nuggets.
Has done a great job of making you feel like the McRib is a gift, not a guarantee.
Yeah, right.
They've done a very and I've never
it's a
eaten
privilege,
one in my
not
life.
A right. Is that what you're saying? But the nuggets to not have nuggets as McDonald's, I understand his anger, but
you
can't
don't want to say I'm gonna
fuck.
Well, do you want to hear how drunk he was?
Yeah,
Olson, who in court, this is later, obviously
he is in
court,
Australia, so
said
let's do the
he
answer.
Was vegan.
What?
He was so drunk He was going to eat chicken nuggets that night.
This was his off-the-wagon moment.
Yes.
And this McDonald's is screwing up for
him. So they tell him, we're not giving you nuggets. Uh-huh. He then
what if his dream was to lay all the nuggets out and just kind of, you know...
Have like a little nugget
submerge
party?
Himself in nuggets. Yeah. In a bathtub.
I mean, so far, I feel sympathy for this guy.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
He must be... like something terrible happened to him.
He then... So he curses at them.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't can't get his nuggets. He then drove 4 laps around the drive-thru lane of McDonald's.
I'm assuming increasing speed.
While honking his horn before finally stopping back in front of the McDonald's drive-thru window. Mm-hmm. Here's where a little bit is on McDonald's. They then say to him, what would you like to order? You have now invited the vampire in, right? Yeah. The vampire has stood outside.
They have to be invited in.
Your sliding window and said, I'm going to get you. And you said, would you like to come inside?
By the way, after the second lap around, you're like, we get it. We get it. He does 2 more.
Yes.
I love that this is his definition of fucking them up.
Yeah.
That's great, too. That's kind of quaint.
I know. It's charming almost. It's like it feels like he's a medieval like knight or
now
something.
This is a question. It is Australia. Did he drive in the opposite direction around
no.
McDonald's?
At Sklar Brothers. So he gets up to the window. Uh-huh. They are then willing to take an order from him.
Unreal.
He orders.
G'day, sir.
He orders and receives 200 hash browns.
Whoa!
200 hash browns?
That's shoot you in the arm money.
This isn't our...
7 grand.
I will ask you guys, this is not our official quiz question for this one, but how much do you think that cost him, anybody?
That's what we were saying. That's shoot you in the arm money. How much
do you think 200 hash browns cost you?
I think a hash brown is like, what, 99 cents
probably.
Maybe? With tax, it's probably about $220.
Anybody else want to stab a guess? It doesn't matter. This isn't official.
Yeah, $319.
Ooh, I'm gonna say $150.
$230.
Yeah.
Jason Sklar, or Randy Sklar.
I'll take that. Yeah.
After continued abuse, so he orders. He then pays after continued abuse from Olsen. I want the McDonald's people like, you got your hash browns, just go, man.
Just leave. Well, who is angry after 200?
We
hash
gave you
browns.
The closest thing to a McNugget that we serve.
Yeah. I wonder
it's
how
a potato McNugget.
McDonald's people are like, hey, just pull over to the side, eat all that food, take a nap, and then drive home. Like, don't. Yeah. You're drunk. Yeah. Don't drive home. Here we go. He orders. He gets $230. He then continues to abuse McDonald's staff. They then fear for their safety. This is when they fear for their safety.
Yeah.
And lock the restaurant doors, requesting a refund. Now he wants a refund.
Aw.
Olsen could not remember what he had ordered and instead asked to be reimbursed for 200 large fries and 200 Big Macs. He now thinks
he's trying to launder money or something.
Like, this is his plan for getting money.
This is 200 by 200. Look, everyone has a far-fetched plan to get money. His plan includes eating 200 hash browns and claiming he had 200 Big Macs and 200 fries.
There's a lot of plans to get money.
This whole episode is all about people trying to game the system.
Police come to the McDonald's and they find Olsen drunk at the wheel after they were called by McDonald's staff, who I still think waited way too long.
Yeah, call the first time he says, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yes.
How about call on lap 2 around the place?
Colson has had an
You're just
alcohol-
now calling him Colson.
Yeah, right. I really was.
Yeah, you just called him Colson.
Cole Olsen had a blood alcohol level of...
Here we go.
Dan Harmon, would you like to guess first?
Now, 0.08 is legal limit. Okay. So,
0.3
is just pouring vodka down into the breathalyzer,
Okay. 0.16.
Okay.
He's forgetting stuff. I think he's 0.24.
Okay.
0.20.
Randy says 0.24. 0.20 from Jason Sklar.
0.16.
Yeah, I think he's a lightweight.
Double. You think he's
still operating
his
car.
He's vegan. He doesn't fucking drink all the
time. That's true. He doesn't have a lot of weight on him, maybe.
Cole Olsen had a blood alcohol level of 0.17.
I was going to say 1.7 and do the 7 callback. I was going to do the 7 callback.
You were too, man. When you said 1, I was like, say seven.
Still, you got it.
Back to 7.
Still, you got it. That's so funny. Still impressed.
While Olsen avoided jail time, he has been fined $1,000, sentenced to 1 year good behavior bond. Don't know what that is, but I wish we had it in the States.
We had it in the States.
And is banned from driving for 9 months.
That's great.
These poor Australian McDonald's employees who who acted like they're the Secret Service. Right. Like they're
we
under,
got it. We got this.
Like it's our obligation when a car comes up to the speaker. And then they have to shovel all that money back to an American corporation. The whole time they're like, it's probably some 16-year-old Australian that's going like, well, after all it's said and done, I get like a wombat dropping from my that local manager.
That's all they get. I mean, I believe that in other countries, people who work at McDonald's, like, there's kind of a little prestige in that. Like,
I work for a foreign company.
Yeah, yeah, I work for a foreign company, and I'm here.
Well, the McDonald's in Paris, like, are like hospitals. They feel very prestigious.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
Very regal. I kind of want to go to universities.
Speaking of prestigious, our final guest who is joining us has a new movie out for the holidays. He is acting opposite. We spoke about him earlier, John Lithgow, all circle lipped of himself. He's a friend of the show. We're going to bring him in right now. Can we please let him in? He's the great one. He's got Daddy's Home too. Daddy's Home Again.
Daddy's
Also Home. I don't know the name of it, but Mark Wahlberg. We invite him in right now. Mark, how are you?
What's up, dude? How are you guys doing? You doing good?
We're good. We're very good.
Yeah, you are. You got me here. Of course you're doing fine.
Thank you. Thanks.
What's up, we have Dan Harmon here.
What's up, TH? How are you?
Nice to
have you. Good, man.
You are good.
I mean, you're good. And we were talking about John Lithgow earlier. It must have been a thrill for you to work with him in this movie.
I mean, it was whatever.
Oh, whatever.
So
I saw him in Cliffhanger. I kept calling him the dude from Cliffhanger.
He's been in a lot more than Cliffhanger.
Oh, you're right. There's a ton of other movies.
He was in fucking Ricochet.
Yeah. Maybe.
Dude, Ricochet and Cliffhanger. Yeah. Right. I called him. I should have called him.
Those aren't his two biggest credits. Footloose. He's been in a lot.
The Henderson.
Yes. Nope. Ricochet, dude.
All right, fine.
Fucking Ricochet.
So the movie's out, or it's coming out.
No, it's out, dude.
It's out? All right, fine.
Why you act like you haven't fucking seen it twice?
All right, I haven't seen it twice.
Fucking sorry. Dude, you know you've seen it.
You love doing comedy. Comedies.
Well, you know what's funny? It's so me and William Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yeah.
He keeps asking me. He's like, dude, I just feel like I'm not funny unless I'm around you.
Wow.
And so I'm doing more as a favor to him.
You do it as a favor to Will.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm happy to do it. Did you see the other guys?
Yeah.
Yes, I did see the other guys.
That's rhetorical. Of course you fucking saw
the
other
guys. Of course
we
saw it.
So that movie's out right now. And then we got All the Money in the World, None of the Spacey, which is actually the full title.
Oh, is that the new, they had to do all the reshoots?
You mean the movie where I wear fucking glasses?
Is that what that movie is? Is that how we're going to define
that's how
that
we're
movie
defining
right
the movie.
Dude, I wear fucking glasses.
That's a character
but
choice.
They didn't remove the documented raving anti-Semite from
Mel Gibson.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't remove him from Daddy's Home too.
Spacey
out of
there.
What is
they reshot all the, what's wrong with being an anti-Semite?
That's fucking horrible, dude. Yeah. My name's Wahlberg.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but so when they had to reshoot everything, they had bring you back for the reshoots for any of the scenes?
I don't do fucking turnarounds.
You don't do turnarounds. You just
what
do
am I,
your
what the fuck
master
am I,
shot.
What am I, Jack Lemmon?
Right, you do like,
Jack Lemmon
okay, no, you're not.
We're filming the apartment. You guys want my fucking shoulder in the scene?
All right, we might want a dirty shoulder in one moment.
CGI that fucking shit.
All right, that's CGI a dirty shoulder.
Fucking make it like Henry Cavill's fucking mustache.
All right. That's what we'll do. Fine.
Is there anything to this legend or whatever you call it, rumor? I don't know. Like, I hope you don't get offended by this.
Here we
but
go.
Like, there's, you know, the thing when you, I don't know, I guess you beat a guy with a stick until he went blind or something.
I did not beat a guy with a stick.
You beat him with a ring.
That man lost his eye in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
He tried to prevent me from taking something that I needed, which was a thing of Pringles, allegedly. Okay. And then when I tried to get him out of the way, his eye fell out.
No, that doesn't happen.
This feels like a Garrison Keillor admission. You know what I mean? Like, I'm believing half of it. It's very poetic, but I think it probably went down a different
way. I did some shit I'm not super fucking proud of when I was a kid.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
You're a rough kid. Rough child.
Yeah. Since then, I've just been a fucking National Treasure world icon, an example for people to live up to creatively and physically.
You put out the good vibrations.
So I'm just... Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm sorry. All right, last question. What are the Wahlberg plans for Christmas?
Oh, when Donnie gets done at Wahlburgers.
Uh-huh. He's got to work a shift.
Fucking A, he does, dude.
He's got to work a shift.
Yes, wow. Dude. I'm like, those shakes aren't going to make themselves. You wanted that promotion.
You guys have a restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Wahlburgers.
We got one opening right here in town. I'll fucking take you there.
All right. Oh, thank you.
Sunset Plaza and Sunset Boulevard, Wahlburgers.
Get out of here. I saw one over there.
Are you crazy now?
Why are you being, you don't know.
This is what you guys, end of the year, you guys are like, oh, let's fucking
Jay's
chest ourselves up
mind
to Mark Wahlberg.
I don't know. We're not chesting up.
No, we're not chesting up, sir.
Christmas, as soon as he gets done with his shift, then what? What do you guys do?
He'll come over and watch everybody else open presents.
Yeah. Oh, you're not going to give him anything.
He gets to live in the fucking garage. I call him Mike. I literally every day, I'm like, what are you going to do today, Mike Seaver?
All right, fine. Lovely. All right, well, happy holidays to you. I hope the movie's a huge success. And
there's no need to hope, dude. It's a Mark Wahlberg movie.
It's already a success.
Send Dan back.
Go see All the Money in the World.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, I'm going to go for a run.
All right, fine.
Go for a run. Oh, he ran out.
He ran out. Dan, welcome back.
Hey, glad to be back.
Hey, that's a show, guys. That's what we do as we near towards the holidays. I hope you guys are getting ready and have a nice holiday season. Hey, we got some new merch. The Dumb People Town merch t-shirts. The pins are in. Yep. Population.
Only made 1,000.
Only made 1,000 literally of them. Dumb People Town population pins.
Some are only going to be sold live and some are only going to be sold online. So there's going to be a limited number in each.
Check the Feral Audio site and pick that stuff up. They're great stocking stuffers for Hanukkah, for if you put stockings up.
Come see us live at Sketchfest. We're doing this show live at 1 p.m. on Sunday, the
January 21st, 1 p.m. at Cobb's Comedy Club. And then in New York on the 25th of February at the Bell's Factory Outlet Mall, but it's the Bell House. First show with our guests are the girls from Guys We Fucked. They are amazing.
I think that show's selling out.
Close to sold out. Yep. We might add a second one, so please, we'll let you know about that.
One quick thing that I just wanted to plug. I should have done this more and heavily and sooner. I just want to let everybody know I'm a part of a charity holiday show at Meltdown Theater on the 18th at 8 o'clock. It is going to be myself, Rory Scovel, Nick Thune, Tony Thaxton, Todd Cooper, Chris Sullivan.
Nice.
And he's bringing the lead singer from Dawes. I believe his name is Andrew Goldsmith.
Yeah.
Taylor Goldsmith.
Yes, yeah. Sorry for that. And Mandy Moore from This Is Us. They're all going to be singing songs together. Colin Hanks is going to be there. It's just April Richardson. It's a phenomenal show. All the money.
18th at Meltdown.
Yep. All the money goes to Planned Parenthood.
Last couple things I want to mention. If you haven't checked out Banter, the app, it is so fun. It's comedians texting with each other. It's just you. Because Twitter is great because it's one shot. But to hear the back and forth and see the back and forth between it's us. We do all Dumb People Town stories that don't get
Strongman Santa.
Yeah. The Strongman Santa. Just great pictures that are sent to us. So check out Banter. Download it. It's free and tell people about it.
Anything to plug for Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon, when's the next live Harmontown or when
I think we're going to be at Sketchfest too.
Great.
But I don't know the exact dates, but
On the Sketchfest
site. Listen to Harmontown, and I have a different podcast with Jessica Gao called Whiting Wongs.
Whiting Wongs.
It's just two people talking about race and writing, and we don't solve anything.
I love it.
I ask her about the Chinese concept of lying in China. Anything about
but
that.
But how will I know that she's
telling the truth? You just don't. You absolutely don't. Dan Harmon, thank you for your brilliance. And we'll be back next week. Holy shit, we gotta get back to work! Dumb, 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 dumb.